Welcome to Abiding in Hope, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Marianne Jepson, a clinical counselor, Catholic therapist in Columbus, Ohio, and my co-host is Father John Sims Baker, priest of the Diocese of Nashville and a professor at the Pontifical College Josephinum. Good to have you, Father.
Great to be here, Marianne.
You're doing well?
I am finer than a frog's hair.
And that's mighty fine.
Yeah,
bringing in a little bit of Nashville here. I really wanted to play like some sort of song like Nashville Cats or something, but I'm told we're not allowed to do that. So anyway.
You can just imagine it. Just imagine it right
you
now.
You can Google it or something when you get a chance. So on this show, Father and I offer practical insights to common issues in family life, marriage life, any kind of life, really. We hope to be here for you, and we accept your questions on abidinginhope.com. This show is about you, and it's about helping you to find hope in the struggles and challenges of life. So go there to Abiding in Hope and be a part of our show. We'd love that. You give us great questions, and we're so happy to be here to have hopefully some good answers for that. So I have this great quote I wanted to start out with. And it is from St. Bernard of Clairvaux. It is this: wait upon the Lord, be faithful to his commandments. He will elevate your hope and put you in possession of his kingdom. Wait upon him patiently. Wait upon him by avoiding all sin. He will come, doubt it not. And in the approaching day of his visitation, which will be that day of your death and his judgment, he will himself crown your holy hope. Place all your hope in the heart of Jesus. It is a safe asylum, for he who trusts in God is sheltered and protected by his mercy. To this firm hope, join the practice of virtue. And even in this life, you will begin the taste of the ineffable joys of paradise. Don't you love that? Don't you love that?
Yeah, of course. Anybody whose name starts with saint, I'm going to love it. You know?
Me too. Some maybe a little bit more than others. This one, I think, is just very profound. I love it. St. Bernard of Clairvaux. What a way to start the show, Father. Do you have any kind of updates or things that you might like to add or whatever before we get into questions?
Well, seriously.
Jokes you'd like to tell? Or
not very good at jokes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry to let you down. But that quotation really from St. Bernard is on hope is that, you know, that being patient, that long view.
Mm-hmm.
So often I think when we do struggle with hope, it's because we're impatient.
Yes, yes.
We give up on God. And I said, obviously, God, you're not taking care of this, so I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
And we just give up on him.
Because it's all about me, right?
Right.
It's all
exactly.
About me. I mean, if he's not doing his job, somebody's got to do it. So it's got to be me.
And so that patience, that waiting on him,
mm-hmm.
It's one of the things I love about the, the season of Advent and why I think we've almost killed that in the church, not in the church, but definitely in the world.
Yeah.
We don't want to wait for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to wait. And we complain about like something on our computer taking 2 seconds or something. Like, it's so slow. It was 2 seconds to do something completely amazing, you know?
Right.
And so much of the our faith is built on trusting in God and therefore waiting
mm-hmm.
in hope and expectation.
Mm-hmm. I think about the word long suffering. And how difficult it is to be patient and wait on the Lord in long suffering, which so many of the questions I think that we have and the challenges that people have, they're not, you don't just flip a switch and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to be gained in long suffering, right?
Yes, absolutely. And if we'll be willing to accept that, God can do so much.
He can.
We really learn, frankly, much more from failure than we do from our own successes. I know my father used to say all the time, I think it's a quotation from Will Rogers, my dad used to say it all the time. He said, good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from poor judgment.
So Good judgment comes from experience, and experience I'll try to remember that one.
But it's this whole idea that, you know, from our mistakes, from even our failures, mm-hmm. from our struggles, that's how we learn,
mm-hmm.
and that's how we grow, usually most powerfully. And so trying to avoid failure or struggle at all costs keeps us from growing.
Mm-hmm.
Not allowing others, you know, for example, yeah. parents with their children
sure.
to maybe struggle a little bit, or maybe, you know, in a controlled way. Of course, you don't want to let your children get into a dangerous situation, but to even fail in some ways
right.
can be the way that these young people learn resilience.
That's right.
And learn the strength that they have within them, and also the strength that can be gained by relying on God.
That's right.
Even when it seems that we have failed.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, you picked out the patience part of this quote from St. Bernard as well as I did. That's the part. We are so used to quick fixes. You know, as you say, the 2 seconds on the computer, whatever. We are just not patient in this world. As someone cuts us off, they're in a big hurry to get around all of the people on the highway. They don't have patience. And so many things are learned and gained through the process, not by just jumping right to the end result, right? It's learned in that suffering. It's learned in the day-to-day struggles. So there's such value in them, really. I just relying on God for one, but so many other things, as you say, you know, what you learn about yourself and how your faith grows, and just learning to practice patience as a virtue day in and day out can really change your life. It can change your life.
And also being able to just, to some extent, embrace the mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often we want things straightened out, you know, right now. And we just, if things are a mess or whatever, we just sort of begrudge it and all. And to just sort of say, no, this is where I am right now. I'm working through this. We do that with God. We think, I've got to get myself. So often we'll put off coming to God until we think we've got our act straightened out or something like. When God just wants you right now,
yeah,
with everything,
that's right.
Whatever you got, just come to Him,
and it's all better.
And with Him. We find this kind of resilience, this ability to cope, this ability to manage in the middle of everything,
In the middle of the mess.
In the middle of the mess, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mess becomes not something that's destroying life, but it just is life, you know?
That's right. That's right.
And we go on, and we can do so with a degree of peace, not despite it, but in it.
That's right. Well, you are listening to Abiding in Hope, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, Catholic therapist in Columbus. My co-host is Father John Sims Baker from Nashville and the Pontifical College Josephinum. And we are going to go over to a question that we have here right now, Father. How about that?
That's great.
Okay. This one comes in from an anonymous male, and I am not sure of his age, but I guess it's not really necessary to know that. And here's what he has to say. I am a recovering pornography addict. I have heard some of your shows on St. Gabriel Radio about pornography addiction and sex trafficking and the connection between the two. However, I know of some women who say they are happy in the industry. I was raised Catholic but have not been to church in many years. I have 2 questions. The first one, I'll say what both of the questions are, since I just said I have 2 questions. I will say what both of them are, and then we can take them individually. So the first question is it a sin to search for famous porn stars online to learn about their lives, even though I am not looking at porn pictures or videos? The second question is it harmful for me or others to think about porn images and the people who perform in them. I like looking at women and men, even though they aren't fully exposed. So I think the key word in that question is that this is a thought process that's going on for him. He's kind of stuck in his thoughts there. So going back to the first question, is it a sin to search for famous porn stars online to learn about their lives, even though I am not looking at porn pictures or videos? What do you have to say, Father?
Well, I think where we can start with that is to say, what is that question? What's implied in that question? What is the longing that's implied in that question?
Mm-hmm.
Is that is there a longing for God implied in that question, or is there a longing for something else?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that that is really a longing for something other than God. Like, how far can I get away from God without falling completely off the edge? You know, that's the, I always have to say, I'm a little worried anytime I get the question, is it a sin blank? You know, it's kind of like as a teacher, I think one of the most discouraging questions you can get is, will this be on the test or something like that, as if that's really what this is about. You know,
sure.
The moral life in Christ is not about staying, you know, one half inch this side of mortal sin.
That's not how much you can get away with before.
It's about coming to life in Christ.
Yeah.
And so that question is sort of an example of one of the offenses against hope, which is presumption, sort of presuming on God's mercy. Saying like, oh, God will understand if I whatever. And of course, God understands. He knows us better than we do. But what we need to do is to start to understand our own hearts,
mm-hmm,
and to set them on God. And so, you know, there are a lot of things hidden in there. It's like the just a lot of different things, you know, vis-a-vis the relationship with God, but also just the view of these other people, you know. This is at most seeing other people as sort of objects of curiosity at best.
Mm-hmm.
It might even be sort of a completely dehumanizing view of other people. And so what we want to do is to not look for the least we can do, but what would be the best?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the famous lines that comes out of Still 12-step programs.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to look for the next best thing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I really don't think searching for famous porn stars online to learn about their lives is probably the next best thing I could do. You know,
I don't think so. I would agree with you on that. I'm not that question confuses me a little bit, because what are you looking for to learn about their lives? Their lives most likely were broken in ways that are not going to bring any kind of joy to you to discover that. But maybe, you know, if it's research that you're doing for some paper that you're writing that's going to turn people away from porn, then maybe learning about their lives in that way
might
be helpful.
This
but not for a porn addict.
Who's saying he was an addict?
No.
You just need to say, no. I need to go somewhere else.
Exactly right.
I need to be somewhere else.
And that's where the neural pathways come in.
Can you tell us about that?
I will tell you. I think I can.
Thanks.
I've just been itching to do that, Father. No. So what happens with someone who is an addict of any sort of thing? I mean, we all are in certain ways. Like, we have behaviors that have become repetitive to the point that a trigger comes along and we just go do it, whatever it is. We've learned that. So that's really what the neural pathways do. This man has learned that pornography, if he views it or if he gets anywhere near it, that the brain starts to fire and it goes right down this neural pathway until at the end of that, there's a release of dopamine, which is a pleasure hormone. There's pleasure associated with that. Doing that over and over and over again in whatever way, we we repeat this and we make this thing stronger, this neural pathway stronger. So he is not getting away from his addiction by viewing these, by researching these lives. There's some sort of thing where there's an amount of pleasure or curiosity, as you mentioned, that's keeping this whole thing alive for him, not like creating a new and a better neural pathway for him. He may be lonely and wants to avoid the pain of loneliness, and so he looks at these people online. We're created to, in a sense, to avoid pain and seek pleasure, but we want to do it in good and healthy ways, and this is not one for him. You have anything else to add there, Father?
Well, again, I think like the second question is what it's the same same thing basically.
Sure.
It's this thinking about these images and this sort of thing. We want to go, where does, it's a question, is it harmful or is it a sin? Is he quiz?
Sure.
And I would say, yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Because the harm, as the Lord himself teaches us, comes from within.
Mm-hmm.
The harm or the damage or the sin or whatever isn't out there. It's ultimately in the heart. And so, yes, to do these things, even only in imagination or in your thoughts, is harmful, maybe even more harmful, to tell you the truth, because you can get away from external things, whereas it's much harder, as you were just telling us, to get away from our own thoughts.
Yeah.
Especially if we've developed
these patterns of
behavior. I think this man just needs to take a kind of a dose of reality and some of those good, talking about addiction, go to some of the really great advice on addiction that we get like from the 12-step programs and mm-hmm. just sort of admit That's, once again, mm-hmm. I'm powerless here. My life is out of control in this area. I have to just work my steps and have that humility and that trust in God's mercy that God really does have something for you, mm-hmm. something great for you, but it's going to be something that's going to lead you to him and not back into this slavery.
Right. And slavery it is. It's an internal slavery. It's a loneliness. Nobody that is an addict is really, really happy inside mm-hmm. and fulfilled inside. There's that loneliness. And mm-hmm. so, as we had talked about earlier, turning outward from ourselves, not inward. And this is turning inward. So we're blessed in Columbus. We have 12 steps for this, Sexaholics Anonymous. We have the Castus Society here in Columbus. Castus is a Latin word for chastity. And that there's great people that are involved in that and that are here to help. And what that does is there's accountability associated with that, but you also are not alone. You're walking this walk with someone else. And we all do best when we have someone else that's walking alongside us, whatever that struggle is. In life, we can't do these things alone. We need to have someone, and that's where you can find them. And also, not only having someone walk with you on this journey, but turning outward and helping someone else. That's such a part of the 12 steps. Help someone else get out of this rut. And while we're talking about helping someone else, the women and the children that are involved in this industry are not there because this is a great job. They're not there because they're getting well paid and they have a fulfilling life. They're being hauled all over the country and all over the world to do things that demean their dignity and do not offer them one ounce of hope.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, again, what are we longing for? Do we find our hope, our trust in God, and seeking him. And so a renewal of that imagination of the good things that God has done and using, memories to help, heal maybe very bad memories with those good ones, and even if we've humanly maybe had suffered through a lot of things, we have always the Paschal mystery. Mm-hmm. What God has done for us, that God is for us, that God has given his only begotten Son for us, and that we can find our hope there. And also, of course, in his Blessed Mother that he gave to us mm-hmm. from the cross, and to stay close to her. I recommend anytime, I would recommend to this gentleman, and anytime anyone is undergoing any kind of, you know, temptation like this, the three Hail Mary test, just stop and say three Hail Marys.
Mm-hmm.
And very often that's just enough time to get yourself reoriented and to think about something true and beautiful and dignified
mm-hmm.
and worthy, all those good things that St. Paul tells us to think about, you know, rather than these others. And it's just enough to mm-hmm. save us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Blessed Mother wants to always to pull us up. So that the three Hail Marys, it comes in handy with a lot of things, not just this. Like if you're, maybe someday you're struggling with, like, you just want to really give somebody a piece of your mind, stop and say three Hail Marys.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It'll probably give you
yes.
just the breather you need.
That's right.
No, I actually don't want to say that. Or whatever else. In a moment, any moment of temptation, the three Hail Mary rule, I really recommend it.
That's right. And I'm thinking back to this man, the pornography addict. If he said those three Hail Marys, you know what his mother, his Blessed Mother, would tell him to do? Shut that computer down and go do something else. There's an adoration chapel probably somewhere around the corner, somewhere in this city. You might go talk to Jesus about it. But you know what? Do something else. Get away from the computer. Your life is so much better than that.
Right.
And you just don't know it. And she's there to tell you, your life is better than this mess, this dirt, this filth, this crime, everything that goes into that. You are way better than that, and stay away from it. You know, it's so difficult for addicts when they have that moment of, you know, that craving that goes on, and oh, the presumption that the Lord understands my craving. Yeah, he does, but he's there to tell you, I did not make you for this. Get out of there. Get away from it. Turn it off. Go read a good book. Go pick up the Bible. Go, I don't know.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
That's one of the things I think that things like that, or that even little the three Hail Mary rule or anything
yeah.
helps us to do, is to remember, you know, our emotions, one of the tricks they like to play on us is to tell us that however I'm feeling right now, I'm always going to feel this way.
Yeah.
So that addict in that moment of intense desire thinks, I'm always going to feel this way. I can't fight this. I've just got to give in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's actually not true. You're not always going to feel that way. And actually, if you can just hang on,
mm-hmm.
if you can remember, like, your mother.
Yes.
if you can remember those other good things, you can regain your self-mastery.
Father, go ahead.
And do that you really desire.
I love what you said earlier. I think it was before we started this show. You were talking about something that one of the seminarians had said. What was that?
Oh, it was really great. We, just this last week, it's not one of my most joyful events, so we have to go over the rules at the seminary with the new seminarians, and one of our leaders, the older seminarians in the college, was giving a little talk, and I was very, very grateful to him. He gave these three kind of funny but very insightful rules, and I think one of them was just something like, be good. And to illustrate that, he said, just imagine you were doing this in front of your mother. What would she say? And he said, not only that, even if your mother isn't close by, well, our Blessed Mother always is.
That's right.
And what would she say? And just getting back to that point that you made much earlier, it's a form of accountability, basically.
Right.
Sort of heavenly or supernatural accountability. You know, remembering the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Remembering his mother. Remembering the good things he's done. I remember I had a wonderful priest, very old priest I would go to confession to a good bit. And I remember one time he said to me, do you love God? And I thought, oh, that must have been pretty bad,
that
Father.
That hurt.
But basically what he was saying,
yeah.
Are you thinking about God mm-hmm. in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so to have that mindfulness, that remembrance, we call that to be recollected. to live in the moment, in the presence of God, always. Mm-hmm. If you remembered that, always.
Right.
Piece of cake.
You'd be changing your neural pathways.
Exactly.
That's what you would be doing. You would be practicing that.
He'd be changing them.
That's right. That's so true. And again, you know, going out and finding someone else to walk the journey with him.
Accountability. You
know, accountability. Have that there. Get involved in one of these groups.
A man surrounded by his friends is like a walled city.
Right.
The book of Proverbs says.
Oh, so beautiful. Yes. And the churches have such good men's groups around, too,
yeah.
I think. That Man Is You and so many other groups that are really good that help men to realize their own
Into
dignity.
Into the Breach, I think. That
Into the Breach, that's
Phoenix
right.
Says.
Into the Breach, that's a good one. Yeah. Bishop Olmsted's. It's a good study. So there's so many things in our parishes around, too, that you don't have to be alone. You don't have to suffer through these cravings and feel like you're white-knuckling it all the way. You know, walk away from the computer after your three Hail Marys and find something else that's really good to do because your mother is watching you, and so is your father. Right, Father?
They are, and they love you.
And they love you.
They love you very, very much, even at that moment. Don't ever give in to shame.
That's right.
Accept their loving glance.
Amen to that, Father. And we have come to the end of another show. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Father John Sims Baker is my co-host. I'm Mary Ann Jepson. And this is the Abiding in Hope, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. We will be back next time. And we hope you join us. And we will have Father send us out with a blessing.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.